All right, tonight let me invite you over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 reads this way. It says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people to open up your word. And Lord, so we call upon you, asking you to bless the service tonight, that we might hear from you, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up in our lives and our hearts and minds, and that we might hear from you, and that you would strengthen the grace that you've given to us to be your witnesses of your great grace. Again, bless each one here tonight. Bless Northwood Baptist Church and all your churches tonight. May we be found faithful when you return, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just by way of introduction, I do want you to be reminded of this. God is the creator of the church, is he not? And he established it on the shores of Galilee with his disciples. And we've been looking at that here a little bit, understanding that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and he established the Lord's Supper during his earthly ministry. It was already in existence. He told the disciples while he was on earth, if they had a problem, take it to the brother, and if the brother didn't listen to you, then take two or three, and if they didn't listen to you, then you'd take it to the church. He didn't say, take it to the church. It's not here yet, but will be on the day of Pentecost. He didn't say that. He said, take it to the church, implying it was already in existence. And that's important that we understand that, because you have the universal philosophy and ideology here with the idea that the church started on the day of Pentecost. And if that be the case, then the Great Commission died with the apostles. It was never given to the church. It was given to the apostles. And so therefore, we don't have the Great Commission to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel. And we know that's not the truth. Many things that we can say about the importance of understanding when the Lord started his local New Testament church. But in saying that, I do want to remind you about this, that God has equipped the church, that's us, to listen, to honor and glorify him, as long as we look to him and not ourselves. That is such a strong inclination in us. Lord, I love you. I want to do this for you. That's Peter's problem. Lord, though all these forsake you, Lord, I'm not going to do that. And by the way, the same thing will happen that happened to Peter. We will weep bitterly at the end of our lives if that's our philosophy. Lord, I'm going to do this for you. And we will miss what the Lord wants really to do for us. And so be careful about that. Tonight, basically, we're going to look at a word of warning on how we're to be building or growing in the salvation that God has given to us. And so with that said, there's three thoughts tonight: the foundation, the work on the foundation, and a rewarded or supplied work that we'll look at just for a few moments tonight. So let's look at this foundation here in verses 10 and 11. It says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder," listen to this, "I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon." Now that's important. The foundation is where everything gets started. Without this foundation, without a foundation, you have no building. Isn't that the truth? I mean, can you build a building without a foundation? That's what it sets on. That's what it sets on. That's what the building sets on. What does the church sit on? The foundation. What's the foundation? I'm so glad you asked. All right, ready? Look at the bottom of verse 10. "But let every man take heed," verse 10 here, "how he buildeth thereon." Look at verse 11. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid," which is who? Jesus Christ. So that's our foundation. And that's important. So now we have an understanding of who the foundation is. So if Jesus Christ is the foundation, are you going to start building somewhere on the third floor? Is that where we start the building? The foundation's laid. We're going to start up on the third floor. That would be interesting to see, wouldn't it? Or the attempt to see it anyway, because you're never going to do that. You have to put it on the foundation, and all of our work, everything that is built must be on the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's without him, it will come to nothing. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing, right? Now, again, it doesn't mean that we can't work without the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we can do things without Jesus. We can all come up with all kinds of wonderful ideas in our own minds, but the Lord said they will come to what? Nothing. They will be nothing, absolutely nothing. Listen, do we want to really just bring in a crowd? I mean, we can get a rock band. We can bring some food. That'll always bring people. And they're always gone right after that's over. Because if that's what brought them in, what do you think is going to keep them? If it's not the Lord Jesus Christ, we've missed it. Now, I'm not against good Christian music, and I'm not against good food. I'm not against either one of those things. But we have to be careful that we don't begin to lean on our own understanding and miss out what God wants us to do. Now, the devil is very subtle, he's very sly, he's very sneaky, and his whole purpose is just to destroy us, to rob us of our joy, to rob us of our assurance in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and to distract us. That's his whole idea. So let's consider this work on the foundation. Look at verse 12. Now, if any man build thereupon, this is the foundation, build upon this foundation. Now notice the type of things that could be used. Gold, silver, precious stones. That's the first three. Look at the last three. Ready? Wood, hay, stubble. You really don't want to build with wood, hay, and stubble because it's going to be tried by fire. So what will happen if you build with wood, hay, and stubble? It won't last. It won't make it through the fire. Listen, if we're building upon with wood, hay, and stubble, I promise you, when the fiery trials of life come, you're not going to have anything. And so ultimately, everything will be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is important for us to understand. You know, listen, we are influenced. Let me remind you, I believe you know this. Hitler said, if you repeat a lie loud enough, and long enough, people will believe it. And you know what he said? A big lie is better to tell than a small lie. A big outlandish lie is bigger to tell and more believable than a small lie. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing how our nature works? Now, I want to back you up just for a moment here as we consider this these truths tonight. And remember, the beginning of chapter 3, Paul is saying, listen, some were saying, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. Some were of Paul and another group, or only of Jesus. And Paul was wanting them to understand that, listen, they were all workers together. They didn't have their own churches. It wasn't their own different group that you wanted to be a part of. It was all the Lord's church. And they were simply just ministers of the Word of God, and God was the one that was building the church, and God was the one that was doing the work. And we got to get this notion and get this idea. There's a lot of people out in the world today that are saying this is the way, that's the way, but the Bible tells us which is the right way. And that's what we need to be careful that we're standing on and not being misled by anything. So consider this foundation. Notice this in verse 13. Every man's work, that's each and every one of us, shall be made manifest or revealed, for the day shall declare it, because it's the day that it all stands before the Lord Jesus Christ shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. What is it that you're believing? Are you believing the Word of God? Or are you believing what the world is saying about the Word of God? Are you trying to harmonize the world's philosophy with the truth of God's Word? People are doing that. People are doing that. And let me just tell you something. It can be very difficult at times. I've told you this a long time ago. I don't know if you remember this, but when my wife was expecting Gracie, you'll have to ask my wife, but it was somewhat around the mid of her pregnancy, halfway point, they did some kind of a test and they said, she's probably going to be Down syndrome. do you want to abort? Now, is abortion wrong? It's murder. Let me remind you of something. Are you listening carefully? There was an exchange student from another country that came here. I'm reminding you, I've said this before to you. And after spending some years here in the United States, he told his friends he noticed that Americans fear one thing more than anything else, and that is inconvenience. Inconvenience. Sometimes it may not be convenient to raise up a Down syndrome baby, but it's still a baby. It's still one whom God created. And so I will tell you this. We had a baby doctors, right? It was a husband and wife team. And they did not perform abortions. They said, we are obligated to tell you this. I want you to know we do not perform abortions. We would have to refer you to somebody else. How much time do you think we had to spend and ponder that? How much time do you think... We'll get back with. Can we have some time to think about that? No, the answer was we're not doing that. Why? We are going to place it in God's hands. It said, okay, we just needed to tell you that. We would have aborted Gracie to buy into that lie. Or not lie, but misunderstanding when we lean unto the ways of man. Are we going to lean to our own understanding, mankind's, what we think, what we... Listen, do you know this? Listen, let me... Our testing, man's testing is fallible, is it not? Case in point. Case, they missed it. They picked up some kind of... something in one of the blood work, one of the blood tests that said that she's got a high probability of being a Down syndrome baby. Well, my goodness, their high probability was wrong. In a big way. In a big way. Now, I want you to know, it did not let us rest easy for the rest of her pregnancy. We were in our minds trying to prepare and figure out, okay, how do we do this? Well, of course, by the grace of God. But you know what I'm saying? When she comes into the world, we've never done that before. But God is going to be with us. God is going to be with us. Now, the world will tell you this is what you should do. But God says, don't do it. Now listen, this is important because it affects our personal lives. What if I would have listened to that? You see, what am I building on? Am I building on what the world says I should do? By the way, listen, they're saying this. I remember even in the 80s saying, they don't know that. They can detect a heartbeat after so many weeks. They can detect brainwave activity, and maybe it's not there, but they're discovering that it was there earlier than what they had originally thought. Now, I'm not saying it's there or it's not there, but I'll say what God said. Before you were conceived, the Bible says to Jeremiah, I knew you. So whether you can detect it or not is of no significance in the mind of God. So am I going to listen to man, or am I going to listen to God? That's a big question. You'll find that in the Word of God. Why? Because it's so easy to lean to our own understanding, mankind. Okay, so very quickly, watch this. So what foundation are we going to build on? And we ought to build on God's foundation. Then I want you to see this rewarded and supplied work. Look at verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If it abides, if it makes it through the fire. Now, we're not talking about salvation here, obviously. We're just talking about works. So if we're going to lean to our own understanding, I think there are people that are building with wood, hay, and stubble that are pretty proud of what they got. When will they discover it won't be anything? When the fire hits it. When the fire hits it. We need to be careful that we're not doing what we think we should be doing for God, but we ought to be. Listen, do you know that it is important for the... Did God just say, I don't know what this Holy Spirit's for, but I'm just going to give it to you? Or did he say the Holy Spirit had a specific job to lead us into all truth? Not just part of it, all of it. So we are without excuse to say, I didn't know. No, we didn't ask. God, I need to have your wisdom and not the wisdom of this world. What is the problem today with the church? It has forgotten God. And it's just running in its own direction. It's trying to figure out how to build a crowd instead of the Lord's church. And we think success is a bunch of people. Well, let me ask you this. If you've got a bunch of people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ that are church members, what kind of spiritual decisions are you making? Listen, I'm not saying that the Lord didn't have a lot of believers that were baptized and discipled under his ministry, but there was just the 12 that were following him everywhere. And listen, where do you find in the Bible that the size of the church, the amount of the people, is the end game? Jesus said, I'll build my church. It's not just a physical structure, and it's just not the amount of people. It's the individual that God wants to build to what? To hear his voice and to follow him. To hear his voice and to follow him. It's so much more than just church attendance. It's a personal walk with the Lord that guides me, listen, to his ways and to be led by his Spirit. And so tonight he's giving us a warning in his word. Be careful with the materials that you're building on, that they're not just what you think ought to be or what the world is saying. Now, I would dare say this. Most people that are genuinely seeking the Lord are not going to listen to the world. But we can deceive ourselves. Listen, Peter had no difficulty discerning the hypocrisy of the Pharisee and the reality of the Lord's direction, did he? He knew who the Pharisees were, and he knew who the Lord was, did he not? Who do people say that I am? Jesus asked. And they all said, some say you're this prophet, some say you're that. Who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Son of God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Did Peter know the difference between the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and who the Son of God was? He knew the difference, didn't he? And may I tell you, in a few verses later, when Jesus began to tell him and the other disciples that he was going to the cross, the Bible says he took the Lord and said, that shall never be. And what did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And just like that, he completely misunderstood God. If Peter can do it, can't we? See, we can't just go bold, Lord, oh, show me God. We just can't just go and say, just do something for God. Boy, that's a lot of wood, hay, and stubble if you're not careful. If God's not leading in that, God, what would you have me to do? Well, he says this, first of all, before I start leading you to do things, I want you to walk with me. I want you to allow my Spirit to guide your heart, your mind, and the things that you say. I want to live my life through you. You know, I think we've got the cart before the horse many times, running here and doing this and doing that. And yet our hearts are so far away from the Lord. Oh, we can worship with our lips, but where is our heart in line with what God is wanting? Very quickly, we need to finish up. Rewards are rewarded, a rewarded and supplied work. God is the one that is going to give the rewards, and he is the one that supplies the needs or everything that's needed for these rewards. Listen to this, verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. How does that work abide? Well, Jesus told us in John 15, abide in me and I in you. And if you do that, you're going to bear fruit. You're going to bear more fruit and you're going to bear much fruit. And then he says, because I want to remind you, without me you can do. Or stuff that's going to come up to nothing. You can do all kinds of things, can't you, without Jesus? I can. What is it? Nothing. Verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And notice this, that the Spirit of God dwelleth where? We have no excuse. We can say, man, that's great. God's Spirit dwells in me. What's he doing for you? What are you asking him to do for you? Show me the way would be a good way to start. Lord, show me how to walk this day. Lord, help me not to walk in my strength. Lord, may it be yours and not mine. So here's, you just need to do that one, the day you got saved, and that's it. Don't ever ask him again. Right? We will never make it that way. Jesus said, if you seek me, if you seek God, what will happen? What did he promise? You'll find him. The only reason why we're not understanding the Holy Spirit that's indwelt us is because we're not seeking him. That would be the only reason. Question, does God want to reveal himself in your life and mine? This blows me away. Does God want to glorify himself in your life and mine? He does. That would be another good question. Lord, how do you glorify yourself in me? How do you plan on doing that? How about, ask, you know the answer to this one, but this might be a good question to ask. Lord, do you need my help? Lord, do you want my help? We know the answer to that one, don't we? I would say the Spirit told you that one. No, don't touch it. Don't touch it. Just let him do it. Because then when he does it, you'll have cause to praise and worship and say, what a God. He not only saved me, he hath saved me, he is saving me, and he will yet deliver me. He's in the process of doing all of that. All right, very quickly, 16. He says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, I'm just going to just give you a little bit of my thought here. I'm not so sure that this is completely it, but there is a sin unto death. I mean, if there's a person that is just, that's really a saved child of God and just living like the devil, there is a sin that's unto death that he would just take that individual home. Listen to this, though, verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. Why did he say that? Because we can deceive ourselves. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Lord, I don't know which way to go. Show me. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. They're so smart, they think. And God's going to take them in their own smartness. You think there's going to be a lot of smart people that are going to be in for the shock of their lives when they stand before Jesus? They will. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise. Listen, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in man, for all things are yours. And listen, we have no excuse. How many things are yours? What did he just say? I believe he's talking about spiritual things. Anything that you need from God, they're yours. Do you remember the prodigal son? Do you remember the prodigal son? He comes back. Dad throws a party. And the one that stayed home, the brother that stayed home, was all mad, wasn't he? And why was he all mad? Listen, he was doing all the right things, but his heart was further away, I think. You never did that for me. You know what the Father said? All that I have has always been yours. But he acted like he didn't even own it. He lived like he didn't even own it. You know, God has given to us everything we need in salvation. And if we're not careful, we're living like we don't even have it. Listen, this is true. And I think it's the Gaithers, and I like them, all right? I wouldn't say that you'd sing all their songs in church, but there's some good songs that they have, and I think some of them are just good Christian entertainment. But I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That's true, but that's not all I am. I am a victor in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22. So he says, in fact, verse 21, we'll just read these three verses and we're going to finish up. Therefore, let no man glory in man, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Wow. Wow, what we've been given. We've been given everything that is necessary by the grace of God to be found faithful. But the question is, will we seek Him for it? And He's promised if we seek Him for the things that we stand in need of, will He not freely give us all things? He's given us His Son. So if we don't have it, it's not God's fault. The fault only lies in one place. It's not even the world's fault. It's not even the devil's fault. If we're lacking things, it only lies in one spot, in one place. And we look at it in the mirror every day. Because God says, if you'll ask me, you'll find. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, for the promises that you've given. Lord, I pray that we would not look to ourselves or to the world, but to you alone, Lord, for direction and wisdom and understanding and power, Lord, to walk in your ways and to allow you, Lord, to live through our lives, that we might be in awe of your great grace and that the world might see that there is a God who changes lives. Bless the rest of the evening as we break off for prayer, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.